tonight. This is serious. And the blood has... Oh, it's going to be an atomic pile driver. Oh! That made Larry Sharp's pile driver look like a baby in a crib sucking Pavlov through a straw.
How eloquent you are, Cal Rubin.
Tonight's final bout is for the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship, scheduled for one fall or to curfew.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
The last of the Titans.
In the passion and death of their struggle, the very art that had raised them to such Olympian heights was lost. Their techniques vanished.
Referee giving instructions here to both principals, and this should be one whale of a match to wind up things here in Madison Square Garden.
All right, fans of the Titans of Wrestling, if you're digging this show, you got to know that we've been doing them for a while. We've got an archive of shows that you're going to blow your mind. Just head on over to the Place to Be Nation to check them out. Titans of Wrestling Archives, you know you want to hear it.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com. The only place to be in your pop culture world.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this very special edition of the Titans of Wrestling. I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is that myself and my good friend Johnny Sorrow spent the best part of the last hour talking with the one and only Mr. Killer Carl Rudman. Legend, not only in the Philadelphia spectrum and among wrestling fans, but of course in the world of music, in the world of radio and broadcasting. He was Billboard Magazine's first R&B editor, creator of the influential music industry trade magazine, The Friday Morning Quarterback, hitmaker extraordinaire, confidant of legends such as Bruce Springsteen and Dolly Parton, to name a few. And he appeared regularly on The Today Show, The Merv Griffin Show. He was also a renowned, is still a renowned philanthropist, a member of Philadelphia Broadcast Pioneers Hall of Fame, received honorary degrees from a number of different universities. Yes, and we got to ask him all sorts of questions about WWF in the early 80s. That's the good news. The bad news is that only the last 26 minutes of this interview made it to tape. In one of those little quirks, the podcasting gods decided to look down on me today, and for whatever reason, the first half of that interview is missing. I can just tell you briefly what we discussed. As you will hear, Cal is still very much at the age of 86, has his wits about him, and he spent much of the first half of this, which we're never going to hear, sadly, basically busting my balls, busting Johnny's balls. He got a couple of really killer lines in on both of us. When I asked him why he moved out of the booth and became an interviewer in 1982, he told me to shut my fat mouth. He also told us an amazing story about the Fabulous Moolah that I cannot believe that we've lost. But yeah, I mean, just to cover quickly some of the topics we got into, we asked him how he became a color commentator, and he basically said that he got a fix. We asked him who his main point of contact was in the office. He told us basically it was Vince Senior. We asked him who his favorite wrestler was, and he said Bob Backlund. So those are the sorts of the things that we talked about in the first half. I think it's fair to say that both Johnny and I were, you know, a mixture of excited, nervous, and just kind of the marking out, really, for some of the lines that he was coming up with on us. And basically, we were in the process of wrapping up, and Johnny was reading out all of the different programs that had been supported by the Cal and Lucille Rudman Foundation. So as we're going to pick things up here, Johnny was in the middle of reading this big list of amazing things that Cal has done, and then you will listen to how, in an unscheduled kind of second half hour, really, Cal kind of turned the tables and started to interview us. So I'll just leave it there.
Lucille Ribbon Foundation to fund college scholarships to graduates of the Health Tech Career Development Program that puts all knee-high students on the payroll of the St. Christopher's Hospital for Children. As part of the City of Philadelphia's fire prevention campaign, the Rubmans funded 50 billboards in prime locations throughout Philadelphia. They've also, get this, paid for thousands of home fire alarms given out free to people in need throughout Philadelphia. And for the eighth year, the Rubmans have provided scholarships for over 300 Philadelphia police officers to take courses at the Community College of Philly. They provide scholarships for all Philadelphia firefighters who apply to Holy Family University to earn a Bachelor of Science degree in Fire Science and Administration. And they sponsor classes at the Community College of Philadelphia so that people in need can be licensed as nurses aides. It goes on and on and on. Look it up. And I did want to ask, sir, is there a way that people can donate to the foundation?
I do not accept donations.
Oh, wow.
I pay for everything. I do not deduct any overhead or expenses. The word honorary is used, but that's only for legal purposes. I am honorary deputy police commissioner of Philadelphia.
Wow.
And honorary fire commissioner of Philadelphia, and a lot more than that. The honors I've received, I'm in who's who in the world for some 20 years, and on and on and on. I've been portrayed in the movies, One Trick Pony, the Paul Simon story, on Warner Brothers Pictures, and about 32 books. So that goes on and on. I don't want to take more of your time.
Oh, please. But
I've only, how shall I put this? How long are you on, an hour?
As long as you want.
Oh. That's right, you don't have a time schedule. Like a real television. I also can tell you, I've never been on a major television show that had a script and what I like to call idiot boards that you read from. It's all ad-lib. And I brought the biggest music stars to the Merv Griffin show and produced them, and many other major TV shows. Now, when I do these shows, if once in a while I'm not right, I try to be. Well, I am. You wouldn't notice this in this interview. In my head, I have to be funny, really funny. So I think occasionally in this half hour, I've heard you two fellows chuckle a bit.
A little.
A little. So, the way I describe that is, in my head, I'm a wit. But the truth of the matter is, I'm only half right. You hear that, dead air?
Yeah, no, I know. I was letting it sink in. I did real radio for a little while, too, and I know dead air is the worst thing in the world, but I wanted to let that sink in because that was very deep and profound, sir.
Yeah, where were you on the air, WMID, Atlantic City?
No. When I went to college in Kentucky, And I was on the radio in the city of Louisville for a little while while I was in college.
Oh, and you interviewed the horses.
Yes, I went down. I go down to Churchill Downs and ask them how the oats were doing, you know, whether or not they were satisfactory.
Well, that was almost above your pay grade.
Oh, God, I'm going to choke.
Now, about the wrestlers, why haven't you asked me the real questions? What was
such as
Blassie really like?
Oh, well,
we'd love to know. Tell us all about
please.
Three wise men. All
tell,
of them.
Tell us all about Classy Freddie Blassie.
And who was his cohort, also a pseudo manager?
Well, we had my favorite of all time, with the rubber bands and all, the Captain Louis Albano, and his Wild Samoans.
And the Grand Wizard, of course.
They were a lot of fun. And their real job was janitor, sweeping up the floor. That was about right for their pay grade. And one time, I'm walking down the corridor. I didn't tell you that I did the matches at Madison Square Garden and up and down the East Coast. And I was engrossed in thought and didn't even notice, my head was down, that Blassie was coming toward me and walked past me and turned around and said, "Hello, Cal Rudman. You don't even pay attention to me." Well, I'm sorry. I was just thinking. Well, I damn well know you weren't thinking about Fred Blassie. So people want to hear stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a story kind of guy. I was actually standing there at a historical moment when this well-known ABC television guy was there with his portable equipment. You all know this story.
Oh, yes.
And he started to interview a medium wrestler from Nashville, Tennessee.
The doctor, Dr. D. David Schultz.
Yeah, now finish the story. Because it's, in my world, it's your turn to take over the microphone.
Well, it's an honor
what
for
happened?
You to say that. Well,
what happened?
John Stossel went up to the good doctor, and he said the quote, "I think it's fake." And he goes, "What?" He goes, "I think it's fake." And he slapped him, he cuffed him right on the ear twice. He goes, "Is that fake, boy?" Boom, "Is that fake, boy?" And
knocked him flat on his ass.
Flat on his ass. And he still claims to this day that he has hearing loss.
Was barred from wrestling.
Oh, yes, he was. Yes, but John Stossel still says he has hearing loss from that incident.
Then another time, we'll talk about one of the superstars I made. She just wrote the music for a very big Broadway show. Short Little Girl.
I believe you would be talking about Cyndi Lauper?
Yes. And she had a boyfriend. And people get crazy excited, certainly in the garden. And her boyfriend ran up into the ring. That was his first mistake. That virtually cost him that girlfriend. She ran in to save him. All 97 pounds of her. They didn't know wrestlers like you and I know wrestlers. It was a tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
One of them picked her up and threw her over the top rope.
And I believe Rowdy Roddy Piper got his hands on her boyfriend and put him in an airplane spin and tossed him.
Yeah. Well put.
Carl, can I ask, did you ever spend any time with any of the older wrestlers like Baron Cicluna or Dominic DiNucci or any of these? Do you remember those guys?
Oh, yeah. I used to hang around. But the main guy was out of Camden. And he was made champion. And he always hung around in Cherry Hill where the action was. That was when the racetrack was there.
I recall.
What?
I recall. That was my old stomping grounds, too.
No, your tongue is getting tied up in your teeth.
Yeah, well.
I couldn't understand.
I would say I used to hang out in Cherry Hill. I remember the racetrack.
Yes. And who was that wrestler?
I'm trying to think, and I'm coming up with a blank, sir.
Do you take phone calls on your show?
No, we're not there yet. But I'm trying to think. Made champion out of Camden, and
Well, he was a legend in this market.
Well, there's
a good-looking guy. What?
Well, my mind keeps going to Bruno, but Bruno wasn't from Camden, so.
No, not Bruno.
Mm.
At that time, it wasn't at Bruno's pay grade.
Oh, I know. Buddy Rogers.
Who?
Nature Boy Buddy Rogers.
There you go.
He was a cop in Camden, that's right.
Right. How good a wrestler do you think he was?
I've enjoyed watching him. The little footage that exists out there, I enjoy what I've seen. He had a great match with Pat O'Connor in Chicago in 1961, I believe, that you can watch on YouTube. But otherwise,
and what did you think of?
I liked
what
it.
What did you think about it?
I thought he was very good. Am I wrong?
What other wrestlers did you think should have been named a champion?
When I was growing up, Tony Garea.
Say again?
Tony Garea.
And what year was he prominent?
Let's see, from the mid-70s up until the early 80s, and then he started doing enhancement duty, as they called it back then, at the end of his career. But he stayed with the company. He's still with the company, actually, backstage.
Well, we're covering a lot of ground.
I love Cal. Can I say that I am honored that you have turned this around, being the legend you are, and now you're interviewing me. So that's I can't be more happy.
Well, of course you're full of the egocentricity. That finds its outlet on this microphone. Did you tell me that's a new microphone?
Yes, it is. A brand new microphone.
I'm honored.
I got this brand new microphone just almost I wanted to get the best
It's available for this interview. I didn't want to use the lousy one that came with the computer. I wanted to upgrade because I'd be talking to you.
Well, I'm honored by that. And I, of course, miss being on the wrestling circuit. And if some of the people, when they incorporated, had bought some of the stock, they would have scored pretty well.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, but he's a tough guy, Vince McMahon. Of course he has to be. And his kids, son and daughter, are wonderful kids. And as some of the wrestlers die, of course it becomes quite sad, certainly for the fans and the announcers. So I don't know where Dick Graham is now. He had been a top 40 jock in Delaware, out of Wilmington, I think, and then was on playing records on WPEN. Who and how put the fix in for him? I never asked. But he and I got along very well. So, and I got along very well with them. Finally, having said all this, as we approach the end of the day, the inflection is not the main thing. And communication is not the main thing. No, it's everything.
Well, I can't think of a better way to end this. I just want to say thank you, sir. This has been a true honor, Parv.
Yes, absolutely a big honor. And Cal, you know, pretty much everybody listening to this show will have very fond memories of you on the Spectrum shows. Do you have anything that you want to say to your fans, the wrestling fans who still talk about you to this day?
Well, that begs the question. So that's another expression in the real English language. See, they, and that is, what do you think of the business now that gets a tremendous amount of television exposure? What would you call this? Anything goes wrestling?
Yes.
Any kind of hole, knees to the abdomen, etc.
They've called it extreme.
Yeah. And how would you compare that? And it's no longer the World Wrestling. What did we call it then, with an F?
Yes, the Federation.
Federation. It turned out some other outfit had the copyright. And what do they call it now?
World Wrestling Entertainment.
Exactly. But what do you think of the comparison? Because they apparently draw a lot of crowds and all that and have their huge fan base.
Well, I myself enjoy the modern product, but if you're going to compare the legendary older days to now, I much prefer the way things were back in the days where you were announcing at the Spectrum and it was the Federation. And I know... that Parr feels the same way.
Yeah, it's an understatement. I guess I'm known for disliking the modern product, Mr. Woodman.
Well, what's your... See, now I give you, now that I'm doing the interviewing, as to what the, for the fans, and I'm sure there are many of them, how long have you been doing this?
Long time now.
This show.
Three years.
3 years, yeah.
See, that's another thing turned out to be temporary, like your marriages. Years. You have children.
No, we did not have children.
Oh, you were a virgin, okay.
Yes, that's it. Well,
so, how do you compare the two now?
For me, it comes down to authenticity. I find a lot of the older wrestling is authentic. You know, you said you get along very well with Dick Graham. One of the things that we've, you know, watching hours and hours of footage from the Spectrum, it was authentic. Your reactions were real, and the whole thing was not overproduced. Whereas now, I often find that it's inauthentic. It seems fake to me. So that's the main difference in my mind.
I believe from speaking with so many diehard fans, and little kids have grown up and their fondest memories, and you put the factor built into the brain called nostalgia, that is the going evaluation that you just articulated brilliantly. Uh-huh. And your partner in crime, give him a chance, please, to give his British opinion.
That was the British opinion. Well, Cal, I think we're going to wrap this up. You've been more than a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time. And again, people, just look up the Cal and Lucille Rudman Foundation and read about it. And in all seriousness, you're going to be impressed by the good works that this gentleman, his family, and his foundation do. We'd like to thank you once again, Cal, for being here on the Titans of Wrestling podcast. We're going to have this up for everyone to listen to real soon. Why I'm saying that to the audience that's going to listen to it, I don't know. I stink. But tune in next time to the Titans of Wrestling. We'll be back with more coverage of the classic wrestling of the early 1980s. I'm John. This is Parv. And we'll see you at the matches.
All right. And to the fans, thank you for listening. We all hope we've entertain you, and usually at this point it becomes the boring part of the show. But now that these two characters have learned so much more, I guarantee you they will finally make the rest of this show a lot more interesting. And maybe their pay grade will go up.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
From no money a week. Okay.
Thanks.
And one final word.
Yes, sir.
That really came out of Philadelphia. In unison, the crowd. Boring. Oop-oop-a-doo come through.
Thank you. And that's it. Okay, Mr. Rudman, thank you so much. That was so much fun.
About that, look at the smile on Zacho's face. Revenge.
his sweep. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. He has to concentrate like a laser beam to get that one yank. He's got him, that one big yank. The kind of strength Buckland has, you can't believe the strength this man. He doesn't look it. He looks like a choir boy on the street in street clothes.
He's in shape.